ABC Radio Darwin.
I think that's an amazing speech, and I think it's an amazing beginning for Aboriginal people, especially Territorians, to start that conversation about the referendum and looking at some of those mistruths that are out there. But the issue for me is that we need to understand that the power of that change realistically sits with non-Aboriginal Australians and those non-Aboriginal Australians that are on the electoral roll. We as Aboriginal people, we make up such a small proportion of the Aboriginal population, and there would not be one Aboriginal person out there that wouldn't say, yes, we need to be recognised in the referendum. What I'm looking forward to, and I would hope that this comes sooner rather than later, is what actually is in that dialogue. What is it that is in that preamble? What is proposed? I don't think you can leave it just to leaders. I think that you need to recognise the truth, and I'm not unsure what Aboriginal, non-Aboriginal people are afraid of. The truth is we are the first people of this country. The truth is there were historic events that have challenged us. I'm not sure why there's been this debate and this naivety and immaturity with some of the deflectors of why this referendum should go forward.
Well, we've already heard that from a couple of the coalition ministers and backbenchers, people saying things like, look, I'm not sure this is where the money should be spent. The money should be spent in concentrating on closing the gap. What do you say to those type of criticisms?
We need to be really careful and not just allow the constitutional recognition issue to overpower all the other issues that are out there and impacting on Aboriginal people. We need to ensure that the issues of youth suicide, Aboriginal health, the high incarceration rates, all those issues are dealt with at the same time. It would be a really bad thing if our focus was only on this constitutional reform and recognition and we left the other issues behind. They all need to be brought together. And really, I still say, what is it that we are debating? Because we can't have a debate until we have the statement in front of us. And it would only be full of the truths that are out there. And I'm looking forward to that being on the table.
It is interesting, though. What would be the risk of some type of constitutional recognition of Indigenous Australians? What's the risk there?
Well, that's it. I don't think we've got anything to fear. And I'd be interested in to know what Minister Wyatt is going to do. What indicators is he going to be looking at to identify what he thinks are present if this isn't going to move forward to a vote? And beyond that, what is he going to do if it doesn't get up? What's his plan of attack? And what does that say to us about this great nation that we live in, we're supposed to be working together to develop? If he thinks that there's a reason why we should move ahead, well, we need to have that conversation. We need to talk about and have a voice as Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people and start talking about those mistruths.
We're taking back a look at your career and achievements, your passion for justice and truth. It'd be hard not to consider you an Indigenous role model. How does that term sit with you?
No, I'm no role model. I've had opportunities presented to me and I've run with those. I have been gifted those opportunities and I've embraced them and run with them. I've just been able to do what I do. I've failed sometimes, but I've always seen it as a challenge to move forward. And I've had the wealth of people before me who have done the hard yards that have been able to support me to do what I need to do. They've done the hard yards. You know, my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents, they all had more difficult lives than what I've had in my life, and I'm grateful for that. And I feel I owe someone and the community back that because I've been given that privilege.
ABC Radio Darwin.